Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAN. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
So now you open my eyes.
Here comes the quarterback, Burrow, looking for a block, and he got it up in the front by Hopkins into the end zone. Touchdown!
I feel like I'm gonna lose my way.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Just a couple of days away from the AFC-NFC Championship football games. That's the big story over the weekend. And I love the two games that we get. The first game on Sunday, we get the Bengals and the Chiefs. Second game, Rams 49ers. On paper, this looks like a mismatch in both games. I would, just looking at it, it appears that Kansas City, even though they lost to the Bengals, should win this game and advance to the Super Bowl. It's the same conversation with the Rams and 49ers. I think there's a huge talent gap here. However, the 49ers swept the Rams in the season set. We're going to talk about that and more right now and bring in a very good friend of mine, Steve Bordstein, who joins us really periodically throughout the year to talk a little bit of everything to break down the AFC-NFC Championship games. Steve, it's a pleasure to get you back on today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, I know that you're just as excited about this weekend as I am, and we'll start with the AFC. I'll go back to what I just said a moment ago. Yes, it appears to be a mismatch on paper, even though Cincinnati beat Kansas City and had a legitimate chance to become the number one seed in the AFC going into the final week of the season. It still appears to be a mismatch. However, what Cincinnati brings to the table is a phenomenal receiving core. No doubt in my mind, this is the best receiving core in the NFL, and they have one of the most fascinating players in the game right now in young Joe Burrow. I've been a huge believer of this guy going back to his days at LSU. I used to have conversations with you on your show about this, about the level of talent that I saw from Joe Burrow. Last year, he was great, suffers the knee injury. We wonder how long it would take Joe Burrow to get back to that Joe Burrow-type stage. Didn't take long. He's got this young Bengals team in the AFC Championship already. So there's a little mojo. Again, better team in Kansas City, more mojo flowing right now with the Bengals.
And with the Joe Burrow angle, you know, with the exception of the fact that his offensive line let him down a little bit last weekend, you know, I mean, he's been unbelievable. I mean, those last two games of the regular season, he throws for nearly 1,000 yards, and then he has these remarkable games in the postseason where he overcomes the, you know, the sack problem last weekend. He's been absolutely outstanding, and he's clearly becoming, you know, that next go-to quarterback of the NFL. Problem is, guy across the field from him already is that quarterback, and that's going to be Patrick Mahomes. And what he did last weekend when he and the quarterback from Buffalo went at it toe to toe last weekend, that was insane. That was one of the most unbelievable, you know, fourth quarters of football I think I've seen in a long time, when Mahomes and Josh Allen went toe to toe in that game against Buffalo. The problem I had with what Buffalo did, and the reason I think we're talking about Kansas City in the AFC Championship game as opposed to Buffalo, is that Buffalo blew their best chance to win that game when they didn't expose Kansas City's glaring weakness in the middle of that football game last weekend, and that was not going after the hole in the middle of the defensive backfield when Tyrann Mathieu went out. Everyone talks about the overtime and the overtime rules need to be changed. No, Buffalo should have done a better job exposing Kansas City's glaring weakness when Tyrann Mathieu left the game early in the late in the first quarter last week with a concussion. Checking on the injury status of Tyrann Mathieu, he was a full participant in practice today. He's expected to be on Thursday. He's expected to start on Sunday, even though again he still has to be removed from concussion protocol. But I think that there's your difference right there, is that Tyrann Mathieu's presence in that Kansas City defensive backfield is going to cause problems for Cincinnati down the field, because Joe Burrow relies on quick release. He relies on his receivers getting to the ball when Burrow puts it out there. Matthew's not going to let that happen. That defense is going to get their licks, I think, on Burrow, and I think that's going to be the difference in this football game. And I think that if they're resorting to field goals as opposed to touchdowns, then I think you're playing with fire on that one, because Tyreek Hill had a great game last weekend. You looked at the job that Travis Kelce has done over the last few weeks. He's been phenomenal, and this is Kansas City at their finest right now. And isn't it funny that Kansas City's in this position, because it was like 2 months months ago, 2.5 months ago, when we were writing off Kansas City because, oh, their offense was anemic and they were terrible and they were getting beaten all these games, and suddenly they find themselves right back where they've been each of the last several years now, which is a home game playing for the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I could never write Kansas City off during the season based on the fact that their divisional opponents haven't really taken that next step. And I always look at the value of a team based on their division. Right. And so I never had a full belief in the Chargers. I never had full belief in the Broncos. I never had full belief in the Raiders. And so it was hard for me to write off Kansas City. But I think in this game, you bring up a great point when talking about the secondary. The biggest glaring weakness for Cincinnati, it's their offensive line. Okay. And so Joe Burrow is going to have to use the quick game, and he's very good at that. I don't know how you negate Kansas City's pass rush. I think if he's got time, it's going to be very deadly for this Chiefs team. I was breaking down week 17. When these two teams went together. And for me, the X factor, it's Ja'Marr Chase. One of the things that Ja'Marr Chase does so well, and again, we got to remember that this kid is a rookie. The future is so bright for the Cincinnati squad. But Ja'Marr Chase knows how to use the narrow side of the field against Kansas City. Okay, he did this in week 17. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there were four receptions of 20 yards or more in that game. And he uses the narrow side of the field, which gives the opposite side of the offense plenty of space, plenty of room to work in the wide open section of the field. That's where Tyrann Mathieu will come into play in this game. I don't think you can limit Ja'Marr Chase. To me, he's already one of those receivers, Steve, I look at. You have to bracket this guy. He is that good. And it's kind of amazing just how good he has become in such a short period of time. But it's the other guys on the opposite side of the field. If they are in space, Kansas City may have a tough time stopping this Bengals team unless the pass rush is that lethal.
I agree, and I think that's where Mahomes has the distinct advantage. Also, you know, again, and I'm curious your take on this one, because I don't believe that necessarily just because it's your first AFC Championship game that somehow the stage is too big for you. I think Burrow's been on similar big stages, whether it's a national championship game in college or this weekend in the AFC Championship game. Burrow's been on these big stages before. It's not like he came from some know-nothing college and suddenly became the guy, or a Tom Brady who didn't have that experience in college and suddenly found himself winning six Super Bowls. Burrow's been in this position before. It's not a question of, you know, the stage being too big for him. I do think, however, that it will be a case of when you get in those tough situations when it's third and long and the game is starting to get away from you. Mahomes has been in that position before. It happened when they lost the AFC Championship game to New England in overtime a couple of years ago. And at that point, yeah, it might have been a little too big for him. Burrow's not going to have that issue. Burrow's biggest issue is going to be on the field dealing with the myriad situations that Kansas City defensively is going to create for him.
Yeah, I don't worry about Joe Burrow in this game. I think Joe Cool, the nickname Joe Cool, he's got it for a reason, right? We saw this in college. I don't think the stage is too big for Joe Burrow, but here's what I do worry about. I worry about the stage being too big for Zach Taylor. I worry about the stage being too big for this Cincinnati defense, right? That's what I worry about. I think there are certain players that just have it. And Joe Burrow is one of those guys that have it. And I'm glad you brought up Kansas City in the AFC Championship a few years ago against New England. It was all part of the process, and they have been lights out ever since. They've won a Super Bowl. They've gotten to another since that particular time. I worry about Zach Taylor pressing if things go wrong for Cincinnati early on the road in one of the most difficult stadiums to play. Remember, Zach Taylor, when he took this job in Cincinnati, he had never called plays in the NFL. He had never once called plays. This was a guy that came from the college ranks in Cincinnati, went to the Rams as a quarterback's coach, and then became the head coach in Cincinnati. That's what I worry more about. Now, when you flip to the other sideline, there is nothing that Andy Reid has not seen. There is nothing that Eric Bieniemy has not seen. I worry more about Zach Taylor in this game.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you brought up a great angle with the Ja'Marr Chase situation of what Kansas City is going to do defensively. Again, having Tyrann Mathieu in the defensive backfield over the middle of the field means that there can be that extra, whether it's a split second or you have that extra guy on Ja'Marr Chase, you limit him. Cincinnati doesn't have the running game, I don't think, you know, to really slow the game down, which Kansas City does have, whether they've used it effectively or not. is another story. But I think Kansas City is going to do a little bit of both offensively to throw off Cincinnati's defense, create situations, maximize time of possession, maximize the efficiency with the ball. And I think that's going to be the difference in this game. I think Kansas City wins. I think they'll win pulling away in the end, because I think Cincinnati will start to try to press as this game continues, as this game goes on. And I think Kansas City will win probably by, I'd say, a touchdown, touchdown and a half. Not that I endorse gambling, but I encourage it sometimes quite a bit. So if you see that spread sitting at 6.5 or 7, I think that might be the play, is Kansas City to win this game comfortably.
I want to pick Cincinnati in this game because I love Joe Burrow. I have loved this kid since his junior season at LSU. I want this team to be successful. I love Zach Taylor. I want to pick Cincinnati. I just don't trust the Bengals' offensive line quite yet. And I ultimately think that's what the determining factor is. Now, against the spread, I think Cincinnati makes this a close game. And I think going into the fourth quarter, the game is in doubt. However, I just don't trust the pieces, the key pieces around Joe Burrow. I'm going to take Kansas City, but that spread of 7, I think Cincinnati is able to cover that. I really do.
Okay, and it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me. And to the original point, which is, you know, the readiness of Cincinnati. Joe Burrow and that offense and that team right now are serving fair notice. They are going to be that team in the next 2 to 3 years. They are that team. You know, remember the issue that happened when Kansas City lost the Super Bowl and they went out and rebuilt their offensive line, and you saw what that was able to do. They went out and rebuilt their defensive line, and you see what they were able to do. That's where Cincinnati is right now. Yeah. They're going to make a couple of adjustments in this offseason where they're going to get better in these two key areas, whether it's their offensive line or their defensive backfield, and they're going to be able to make those adjustments in this offseason. Cincinnati is clearly going to be one of the top teams in the AFC for quite a few years, and that's scary for the rest of the AFC. You mentioned the AFC West and having no faith in the Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos. How can you look at the AFC North and have any faith whatsoever in the Browns, Ravens, and Steelers right now?
Oh,
you look at Cincinnati, yeah. That division is theirs for the taking for the next several years.
Oh, I agree. Everyone is infatuated right now with the idea that we're going to see more showdowns between Mahomes and Josh Allen. You better make sure you give Joe Burrow some notice, because I don't think Cincinnati's going anywhere anytime soon. Steve Bornstein joining us right now. Steve, we got to pause for just a moment. I know you have time to hang around with us for one more segment. We'll talk Rams 49ers after this, if you're good with it.
Absolutely.
More coming up right here on Drive Time Sports.
Since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We'll continue to talk AFC, NFC Championship football. We talked AFC last segment. We're going to switch over to the NFC. It's the nightcap on Sunday. We get the third meeting of the season between the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. It happens to be the very first time in NFL history that a conference championship game will be played in the same stadium as the Super Bowl a couple of weeks later. Gives the Rams home field advantage throughout, 2 home wins away from capturing the franchise's second Lombardi Trophy. But standing in the way is Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, who have won the last 6 meetings between these two teams. Again, Steve Bornstein joining us right now over the phone. Steve, on paper, it's similar to me to the AFC. On paper, this is an overwhelming mismatch. 49er fans say, how can you possibly say that? The Niners swept this Rams series earlier this season, but still, the superstar talent on this Los Angeles roster heavily overshadows what's on the San Francisco roster. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, you know, I know there's that whole, you know, it's hard to beat a team, the same team 3 times in a year, and I don't think that happens that often enough that it becomes that it's like some foregone conclusion that it's difficult to do. There are a couple of things in play here, though, that if you're a Rams fan, you have to look at. If you look at just Stafford's numbers, yards per game this season, 2 of the 3 worst performances he's had this season have come against the 49ers. He threw for 243 yards in a 31-10 beatdown the Niners put on him back on Monday night, November 15. And he threw for 238 yards in a 27-24 loss in the last game of the season, which determined, you know, the home field and determined division champions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So two of the worst performances of the year were turned in against San Francisco by Matt Stafford. But here's the rub here, is that the last 2 weeks, however, we've seen a different Matt Stafford. And we've seen, I think, the real Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think this is the problem that's going to come into play on Sunday for the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo, in the last two games, the two games in the NFC wildcard game and the NFC divisional playoff, has thrown for a combined 303 yards. That's it. He's had two very pedestrian games. Granted, good defenses in both those games, the Dallas Cowboys defense and the Green Bay Packers defense. However, I'm sorry, the Tampa Buccaneers defense. However, the problem is in this situation, the problem here is that I think the Rams defense might just be better than both of them, especially the last couple of weeks. What we've seen from Aaron Donald, what we've seen from the defensive linebacking core on the Rams here, this defense is just as good as both of them. San Francisco won their first two games by virtue of basically getting five field goals from Ronnie Gould and coming up with extraordinary defensive and special teams play in those first two games. They got ahead of Dallas early, was able to dictate tempo in the first game in the wild card victory over the Cowboys, and then they had the meltdown in the second game where they got up big early and then held on late over the Buccaneers. So I look at San Francisco as a team that needs everything to fall into place for them. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Matt Stafford finally gets that run. He finally continues this gigantic run that he's had over these last, you know, over this course of this season, and justifies himself as the quarterback, you know, who should have been here a long time ago had he not been on a lousy team in Detroit all these years. And I think he gets himself into his first Super Bowl. And I think he does so rather comfortably. I think he does that rather easily here. The running game works for the Rams right now. They're able to get contributions from Cam Akers. They're able to get production there. I think the Rams will win, and I think they're going to win comfortably late in this. I think they're going to start to pull away in this game here again, because if you're trying to match the Rams touchdown for field goal, that's not going to work in the long run.
No, it's not. And I have to point this out. The playoffs are a little bit of a different situation than the regular season. I go back to week 18. Yes, I'm not saying the Rams didn't try to win that game. I'm not saying that at all. However, it wasn't a do-or-die situation for the Rams. And I go back to the way that game ended. A very soft San Francisco secondary. Odell Beckham had his man, a rookie defensive back, beaten down the sideline by 3 yards. Matt Stafford simply underthrew him. When's the last time we said that about Matt Stafford? I just thought it was a terrible, perfect storm for the Rams, and the 49ers took advantage of it. And look, this team has been riding momentum ever since. I also believe, Steve, and I'm going to go back to the sidelines, I believe that Sean McVay is the most brilliant young play caller in football today. This is a guy that 5 years ago took over a franchise that had not been to the playoffs for 13 years. They were 4-12 the year before. They haven't had a losing record since. He took Jared Goff to the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. That right there, you can claim this man is the best play caller in the game based off of that right there. On the flip side, I think Kyle Shanahan's in a similar boat, right? This guy's back in the NFC Championship with Jimmy Garoppolo. However, it should be easier for the Rams to figure out schematically what has gone wrong over the last two meetings this season with the 49ers than the 49ers figuring out how to schematically beat the Rams. The reason I say that is, to quote the great John Wooden, 90% of the time, the team with the best players gets the win.
When I'm going to throw the scenario out to you here, because I know you and I talked a little bit about this right after that game happened. The Rams were up 27-3. They were on their way to a victory. They were on their way to beating Tom Brady and the vaunted Buccaneers. And then the world collapsed. Was that Brady, or was that just absent-mindedness on the Rams' part? And how do you prevent that from happening again this weekend?
Yeah, so for one, no, that had nothing to do with Tom Brady. I'm one of the guys that have said for years Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback that I have ever seen. I believe you can't argue with it. 7 Super Bowls, for crying out loud. However, I give Tom Brady next to no credit for that near miraculous comeback that Tampa Bay put on display Sunday. And the reason being, nothing in that game. He had a short field how many times? Right? Every time the Rams forced a Tom Brady mistake, they followed it up with an offensive mistake. And it wasn't necessarily Matt Stafford. Brian Allen snaps the ball 20 yards over his head. Cam Akers fumbles on the 1. Cam Akers fumbles on the 20. Tom Brady took advantage of several short fields. That's how Jimmy Garoppolo has made his living in San Francisco. He can take advantage of short fields from his defense. Had nothing to do with Tom Brady. As far as being absent-minded, that is a great learning curve. I think if you can overcome 4 fumbles in a road playoff game against the defending Super Bowl champions, the stars may just be aligning for you, Steve. I feel that way. When I look at the veteran leadership on this Ram team, that's also the deciding factor for me in this game on Sunday. I don't believe the Rams overcome 4 fumbles offensively if Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Jalen Ramsey are anchoring that defense. Those are 3 savvy vets, right? I don't believe the Rams overcome 4 fumbles if Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham, who has been a model citizen in LA, are anchoring that offense. To me, it's veteran leadership in keeping those, keeping the mind right. It was fairly amazing that the Rams overcome that and they finish out that game with a great drive in the final 40 seconds. This team has leadership. That's why they were able to overcome that.
And here's your stat to get you on the wagering side of things. Again, not that I endorse gambling, but I do encourage it heavily from time to time. The spread on this game is three, I think, something like that. And I for the life of me, I think this game, more even so than the Cincinnati game against Kansas City, has the potential to turn into a, not a blowout necessarily, but a pull-away victory. Here's your stat. Matt Stafford, last 2 games, in the NFC wildcard, the NFC divisional, Matt Stafford, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and over 600 yards. Jimmy Garoppolo, 303 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. They can't play the way they played offensively. Defensively, they're fine. But this is a different Rams team that has more weapons. This is not the Dallas team that got behind 13-0 and then completely abandoned their running game. This is not the Green Bay team where you had the conditions which were ready-made for the game completely changing on a dime. This is not that situation. This is a Rams team with all the weapons in play. The weather's going to be fine. The situations are made to order. And Garoppolo's just not that guy. And I'm sorry to say that because I want to believe that I desperately want Jimmy Garoppolo to make a Super Bowl and then force the 49ers into the most uncomfortable offseason decision of all time, which is, hi, you took us to a Super Bowl, now we're going to send you packing. Like, I'd love to see that because that's me. I like chaos. I like stories like that. But I just don't see it happening. I think San Francisco, when this game comes to crunch time, I think they're going to come up short. And I think the Rams win this game comfortably. I think they can win. The spread to me is not an issue. I think the Rams win this game. And I think it's almost by double digits.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams to win by 13. I think they get this done by 3. I'm going to say the Rams win this game 27-14. That seems like a fair score. I can see San Francisco scoring a touchdown in the first half, maybe getting one in the second. You know, one of the things I got to point this out when I'm talking about the 49ers. I have to sit and watch the offensive schematics that Kyle Shanahan throws out, if it's personnel 21 or if it's personnel 11. Right, this is something that's fascinating to me with the 49ers, and I believe that Raheem Morris can get this figured out. When you run a I formation with George Kittle on the outside, who is the best blocking tight end in football, you are essentially running a 2 tight end set, and you have Deebo Samuel coming out of the backfield. More than Mitchell, more than Wilson, that's the mismatch here. And one of the things that San Francisco does so well, and if you're a 49er fan, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Jimmy Garoppolo will pitch the ball to Deebo Samuel, and he's running through the A-gaps. He's running in between the center and the guard. Typically, when you pitch the ball, you're taking it outside of the tackles. This is a fascinating offense to watch, but Steve, rarely can you fall behind by 2 scores and come back and win with this offensive mindset. The reason I say rarely is because they were down 17 against the Rams in Week 18. They had the help with a couple of fumbles and a couple of mishaps, but the offensive schematics here from Kyle Shanahan, they fascinate me. The fact that it's hard for me to grasp, is it 11, is it 21? this team is fun to watch and they can cause problems. I just think there's too much talent on that defensive end.
And how many accolades should we be handing Sean McVay right now for making the decision last offseason to abandon the Jared Goff situation and to go with Matt Stafford, who at that time, we all knew Matt Stafford was a good quarterback on a really bad team. But you still had to convince this front office, and you still had to convince this fan base, and you still had to convince everyone who watches football and analyzes football that guy was ready to go to a championship. And I don't think everyone believed that. I think we all knew Stafford was probably a quarterback who was destined to be better than, you know, the team he was with for nearly a dozen years. But I don't think anyone saw this, right? I didn't see this. I did not see, Matt Stafford's the guy that should have been there all along as opposed to Jared Goff. How much of an absolute jackpot move did Sean McVay make in that offseason?
Yeah, well, for one, he gave up a lot. Two first-round picks and a third. You got to remember that third-round pick, or one of the first-round picks, was essentially to offset the massive contract extension that Jared Goff received before the Rams moved on from him, right? So you essentially had to pay Detroit for that massive deal. I believed that Matt Stafford was a top five arm talent in the league, and I think everybody was on board with that. Everybody who watches football knew Matt Stafford is a top five arm talent. But the question remained, because his record against teams that were plus 500 was weak. He had never won a playoff game. One of the things I think is important to point out with Matt Stafford, and if you had any doubt of what type of quarterback he was, the two most prolific wide receiver seasons in NFL history, they came from Calvin Johnson and they came from Cooper Kupp. The common denominator there, Matthew Stafford, right?
Great point.
I mean, that's phenomenal when you think about it.
That's a great point. You know, when you mentioned, the two most prolific things, like, we all know that Calvin Johnson was a great talent, but honestly, who watched Lions games all those years?
Yeah.
Who was watching the Detroit Lions? We knew what they were. They were a lousy football team. The only reason you'd watch, no one west of the Mississippi woke up on a Sunday morning, unless you were a devoted Lions fan, thinking, I can't wait to watch the Lions play. No one thought that. So then suddenly he comes to L.A. on a team that's got a chance, and suddenly everyone's watching Matt Stafford like they didn't know who he was all these years.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's a great point.
Honestly, no one watched them. you mentioned the Calvin Johnson and Cooper Kupp combination. That connection right there, and the common link there being Matt Stafford. That's an amazing thing to think about. We don't make that Matt Stafford connection. We just think of them as two really good individual wide receivers.
Right.
But we don't think of the defining link, the common denominator between those two being that one quarterback.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest right now. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on. You're picking the Rams to win this game. You're picking them to cover. I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're on the same page on that one. Rams minus the points, and also on the AFC side, Chiefs minus the points over the Bengals.
Steve, before I let you go, of course, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can follow me on Twitter at DTSBortsteve. That's Daily Times Sports. That's a newspaper out here in the Four Corners region of Northwest New Mexico. Cover local sports, cover horse racing as well. And looking forward to the conclusion of the NFL season. Looking forward to getting back to baseball. And you can follow me on Twitter for all my work at DTSBortsteve on Twitter.
Steve, enjoy the weekend. We'll catch up again real soon. Thank you again for the time.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
Let's pause one more time. We'll come back and put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports when we return.